What day is it today? March 9th, 2007, to order. We've got a couple of budget bills and grants here. We'll start with House Bill 5043, the Department of State Lands. Representative Gore, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5043 is the budget bill for the Department of State Lands. The department provides administrative support to the State Land Board, which is responsible for management of the Common School Fund assets. The department is responsible by statute for programs such as removal fill and wetlands. It manages the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve and provides support to the Natural Heritage Advisory Council. And that's a mouthful. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources approved a total budget of $43.7 million and 106.5 FTE. Within this total budget, general fund is increased by $31,734. Other funds expenditure limitation is increased $1.7 million, and federal funds expenditure limitation is increased $688,224. From the 2005-07 legislatively approved budget. The subcommittee also approved $109.5 million in revenue distributions from the Common School Fund to the Department of Education, an increase of $38 million from the proposed budget resulting from increased earnings from investments. The subcommittee removed three policy packages related to substantive legislation for expedited wetland delineation reports, water-related permits, process improvement, implementation, and transfer of unclaimed property to the state treasurer for consideration of fiscal impacts at the time the measures are considered by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The recommended budget provides $2.3 million other funds to address revenue generation, management of rangeland, fiscal accountability, and streamlined operations. It also provides $544,907 other funds to prepare detailed geographic information maps and documents related to the Portland Harbor contaminated site, and to seek advice on liability issues from the Attorney General. The budget maintains basic support for the Natural Heritage Program and continues current programs at the South Slough. The subcommittee reviewed the agency's performance measures and approved continuation of 15 measures and replaced two measures with a new measure for the South Slough. The subcommittee also approved adding the best practices measure for boards and commissions. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends House Bill 5043 be amended and reported out new pass as amended.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Representative Morgan and Senator Gordley, please. And Senator Woodson. And oh gosh, you're better, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a couple of points here. The main funder of the Common School Trust Fund is the Elliott State Forest, which sits on the just off the coast near to Coos Bay. And the Elliott right now is the subject of a discussion for a management plan that involves several different agencies and the land board in the state of Oregon. And I know that there was a very robust discussion on this point in the subcommittee, but I think it should be reflected also in the records of the full committee that it is in the best interest of the state of Oregon to keep the cut on that land up as high as is possible because of the importance of that to funding the Common School Trust Fund, which is a component of the K-12 funding in the state of Oregon. There's another aspect, too, that the harvest that's generated off of that that forest is a significant contributor into the local economy, and there are a lot of businesses there that either are directly involved in the harvesting or the processing of those logs or are providing goods and services into those two parts of the forest products industry. And so there really are two very compelling reasons to try to come to a management plan for that forest that keeps the harvest level high. And I just wanted to get that on the record. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. A question. Looking at the key performance measure number 5, which is state workforce diversity, we'd like to know if the subcommittee discussed what strategies the Department of Administrative Services will use and that they have confidence in to achieve state workforce diversity. I'm looking at the target for 2008 and also for 2009, and they have a 100% expectation.
Representative, and then maybe Ms. Gordon.
Senator, I will refer that question to Susie.
Mr. Chair, I believe Senator Gordley is looking at the performance measure for the Department of Administrative Services. This is the budget for Department of
Services. I jumped ahead, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. So that's your heads up. Thank you.
At least you're reading the material. That's very good. I appreciate that, committee members.
I was searching for the one I missed.
Senator Whitsitt, then Senator Berger.
Thank you, Chair Schumer. Three questions, actually. One on package 105. In looking at the Treasurer's budget, the suggestion was that if that function was transferred to the Treasurer's office, if I recall, there was going to be 12 FTE transferred. And in this on this paper, it says 5.46, and I wondered if the staff could address that difference.
Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair and Senator Whitsitt, the proposal was to transfer the positions in July of 2008, which means that the Department of State Lands would have to retain those employees for 12 months. So at the time the positions will transfer in July, the FTE wouldn't transfer until after that point, and that's why it's only 5.46 FTE. And in this package, the Department of State Lands would require an additional position in order to make that transfer because of the combined duties of one of the positions in that work unit.
Thank you. Another question, please?
Please, follow up.
On the South Slough Sanctuary, the notes here don't say how much of that is common school, how much of that is common school revenue, and how much of it is other. How much of that $4,266,937 is actually coming from the common school fund?
Mr. Chair, that's something I have to go back and look at. There are a combination of other funds that go into the South Slough. The majority of them are probably Common School Fund, but there are other sources there as well. So I can't answer it definitively right now.
Okay. And one more, please?
Yes, sir.
On the key performance measures on 6, administrative and operational costs. The target is 36% for administration and operations. That seems a little high. I wonder if we'll have some kind of a discussion on that.
Senator Devlin, do you have a response?
Yes, and I can also, I think Susan may want to comment. I believe a portion of that administrative cost is actually the management of various lands, including the Elliott Forest, which is part of the contract with the Department of Forestry for the management of those lands, which is fairly substantial.
Okay.
I believe about $11 million, roughly.
Anything else to add, Ms. Jordan?
No.
Senator? Okay. Maybe a comment later. We'll run a couple of questions here. That'd be fine. Senator Berger.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Schrager and Nolan. I just want to lift up, for the benefit of the members of the committee, that there are several things in my district that actually you need to think of as part of the state of Oregon and not just necessarily the coastal area. One would be the Elliott Forest. Another would be the Port of Coos Bay. And the other one is the South Slough Sanctuary and Reserve. The South Slough Sanctuary and Reserve was the first estuary chosen in the country, in this nation. And it has a very strong and struggling history. And I just want to thank the committee for the work that they did on their budget this time. And I know that for on behalf of their board and commissioners, I can certainly tell you that they appreciate any support that they get because they do work that is felt internationally. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much for the comment. Let's see. Senator Johnson next.
Mr. Co-Chair, I just want to follow up on Senator Witsit's comments with respect to Package 105. This is one of these ones that's, I think, in the narrative, it says unclaimed property transfer to Treasury was not approved because it is dependent on the adoption of Senate Bill 67. The problem that we have is that it's so closely related to another budget, and that's the Treasurer's budget, because right now there is no new building to put it in. And so if the transfer occurs, we got no place to go. And I just want to highlight the fact that it simply isn't a question of this budget and Senate Bill 67. It is this budget and Treasury's budget and Senate Bill 67, because there's physically no place for these people to go as long as the Treasurer wasn't approved for a new building. And I just want to get that on the record. This makes it appear more simple than it is.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just have a point of clarification. I know that the subcommittee approved Package 802, which applies the co-chair 2% reprioritization. Is that 2% based on the package as it stands now without the three policy packages that were not approved because they're tied to substantive legislation? And if so, does that mean that at some point we have to revisit this budget and reapply the 2% if the other packages are ultimately approved?
No, that would not be the case. Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, the 2% is applied to the essential budget level, and that is before the packages are applied to the budget, so it wouldn't have to be revisited.
Okay, thank you.
Good clarification.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
by the way, just for the record, we cut the general fund allocation of this budget by 62%.
So. I know that, Mr. Senator.
Thank you.
Further comments? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5502, Department of Administrative Services, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5502 is the budget bill for the Department of Administrative Services. The department provides such services such as the motor pool, printing and distribution, statewide accounting, budgeting, and payroll. It also owns and maintains the uniform office rental space and the state data center. It is also responsible for the debt service on pension obligations and appropriations issued by the state. The General Government Subcommittee approved a total budget of $1.09 billion, excuse me, get the decimal place in the right spot, and 964 positions. $450 million of the budget is debt service, and the balance mainly operations. The subcommittee approved an internal reorganization that reduces the Information Resources Management Division by eliminating 10 positions and transferring 155 positions to other operating units. We also approved the continued consolidation efforts in the State Data Center. The State Data Center operations of the Department of Education have yet to be transferred to the State Data Center, and we have asked the Education Subcommittee to follow up on this. We approved additional resources for printing and procurement activities and reduced the number of staff at the motor pool. Funding to process ballot measure 37 also is provided. Funding was provided to continue necessary activities of the Office of Health Policy and Research. We also provided outreach funding to help prescription drug program achieve sufficient size to be self-sustaining. We expect the program to repay the general fund $289,000 either in this biennium or the next. We also approved a modest adjustment to the current biennium federal funds limitation to use the balance of the federal funds on this hand. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the agency's performance measures. The General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5502 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Court.
Thank you very much, Representative. Questions, discussion? Representative Hanna and then Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, once again, I would ask you to review page 2 of this measure summary. Though the indicated general fund dollars are slightly over $10 million, this budget includes over $326 million of general fund. You've heard me say this again. I am anxiously awaiting a co-chair's budget, but we have now spent somewhere north of $350 million of general fund without having that, and it gets to a very uncomfortable level. I'll be a no vote on this budget.
Thank you very much, Representative. Representative Morgan.
Again, just to echo Representative Hanna's remarks, that it is very difficult without having an idea of where the goalposts are on this to get very much further into general fund appropriations. And I know that there are a large number of people that are very much looking forward to seeing the co-chair's budget. And it is rather distressing that we were expecting to see that budget next week, but now we're being told it's going to be another couple of weeks before we see it. So we would just like to poke you a few times with the end of our pencil here and urge you to keep working on that.
I appreciate the good guidance. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll join my fellow colleagues in prodding with a no vote today.
Very good. Very good. Moved by Representative Bellizio.
Yes. I'd like to poke back. I understand the concerns, but at the same time, on the House floor, we're hearing that from representatives' colleagues that we should be passing out the education budget first, before the co-chair's budget. So I guess I'm having difficulty understanding why we should pass out the largest budget that we will pass this session, and that's okay before the co-chair's budget, but these other budgets are a problem. So I guess I'm a little baffled.
Well, I'm sure I'll have lots of opportunity in the near future to find out exactly what's going to happen. The continuing drama at your state legislature, it's gotten very interesting, very theatrical, so I think it's just one more exciting piece of public's business. Yes, Senator Gorley.
Thank you very much. Feels like Groundhog Day, Mr. Co-Chair.
I think so, yes. I would agree with that analogy.
I would like to go back to my earlier question. I actually have two questions. The state workforce diversity target for 2000 and 2009 is 100%, which is aggressive, as it should be. How does the agency plan to achieve this performance measure? What strategies will be utilized? Was that discussed?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, that was discussed. The Human Resource Services Division is taking point on this one for the department. It works with other offices that are minority women in emerging businesses and the like. They are planning outreach to the population. We asked the question, why is it the civilian workforce? You want to mirror that as opposed to the population at large, and they said that's the labor pool. So that was the response for that. But the strategy is to work, extend the outreach reinforce it throughout all state agencies and work with them in their recruitment efforts, as well as working with these other, the Advocacy Commission, the Minority Women, Emerging Small Businesses, and the like. That's the plan. So they are concerned about it, and they are addressing it.
Follow-up?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You referenced the advocacy commissions, which goes to my second question. What was the discussion about the future of the advocacy commissions, which are currently housed within the Department of Administrative Services, but I understand that there's conversation about removing them from the agency? How was that... what discussion took place around that piece?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, there was no discussion with respect to the Advocacy Commission. That budget will be heard in General Government Subcommittee this coming week, Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
Yes, Senator Carter.
And sometimes I'm glad Senator Gordon is here to raise these questions, because I have almost turned white in the face talking about this stuff for 22 years. The agencies are absolutely... we miss in trying to work together to look at the labor pool. And the sad part about that is that as you look at our society and who's going to be where in our society, we're not doing a damn thing to prepare ourselves for the future. As most of you on this desk right now, a good 10 or 15 years from now, you will be retired, sitting back, living healthy and relaxed, and you're not going to have the workforce in nursing, in medicine, in administration, in any of these other areas. These people don't even attend the governor's Office of Affirmative Action in trying to look at the workforce and trying to bring more people into the workplace. It is abysmal. It is a big joke. The state of Oregon isn't doing a damn thing, I repeat, in terms of trying to diversify the workforce and bring new people on. And I hold each one of us that are sitting at this table today just as guilty as all other departments, because we pass on these budgets over and over again. Other than Senator Gordley, nobody asks about what we're doing for the workforce, and you sit around here from year to year to year, and you don't see an integrated approach for bringing other people into state government, yet these people pay taxes like everybody else pay taxes. It is an absolute joke, and we are a part of that joke.
Sobering thoughts. Sobering thoughts. Senator Whitsitt.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think that DAS is the most fiscally responsible agencies that I've had the privilege to study a budget on. Unfortunately, on this vote today, I'm uncomfortable in passing out a budget of a quarter of $1 billion of pass-through general fund money without seeing the budget, which I will be a no vote. That does not reflect, from my standpoint, on the budget or the function of that. I think it's a great agency.
Very good. Understood. Further discussion? Objections. We've got Morgan, Hannah, Garrard, and Whitsitt, and Gordley. See no others? Budget passes. All right, other business. Department of Corrections, Public Safety Sub, Representative Shields, Grant.
Please. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee recommends retroactively approving the submission of a three-year federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $450,000 to provide a more effective transition from prison to the community for inmates released to Coos, Curry, Douglas, Klamath, Jackson, and Josephine counties. The grant will be used to enhance transitional services for up to 200 offenders released from the Shenner Creek Correctional Facility near North Bend. Services will include assessment and transition planning prior to release, development and delivery of transition curriculum, pre-employment services and education, and services provided by county-based supervision programs. Transition planning and services is a priority for the agency. agency, as it is proposed adding resources for similar activities for the entire state in its policy option packages. Applications were due to the federal government early in January. The agency did not meet the 10-day notification deadline, but at that time, agencies had not been given complete direction on the process for federal grants for the 2007 legislative session. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval of the request, and the key performance measure that this will address would be a reduction in receipts.
Appreciate the comments. Discussion. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. My curiosity is why these counties. Obviously, one of the big facilities is located near North Bend, but any other rationale for why these counties?
Yeah, I think I can handle this one, but Mr. Wilson, you may want to come forward too. A lot of the community corrections programs and institutions in the Valley already have transitional services, and they felt that they should really try to improve them around Shutter Creek and in Southern Oregon.
Thank you. That's very satisfactory.
Representative Morgan?
The questions on the retroactivity aspect of this, have the guidelines changed that we have put forward to the agencies in terms of putting requests in?
They have not.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, they haven't significantly changed. There was just this transition period between the interim and session, and agencies were not entirely clear who they should send these requests to. So we'll fix that now, and this should not be occurring.
I think that the retroactivity issue on grant requests is something that we have dealt with as long as I've been in this process. And I think that we do well to continue to send very strong messages to agencies that the rules are pretty simple and pretty clearly defined, and that if you are on the wrong side of them and you don't have a good reason, that the grant request won't be entertained.
Richard, I agree. Further discussion? Senator Berger.
Mr. Chair, may I just say that to members of the committee, if you ever want a tour of Shutter Creek, I'd be so very happy to take you, and I think you would be delighted at the monies that are being spent there and the results that they get.
I'd just be worried they keep us. Further discussion? Representative Lezio.
Yeah, I had one question on the, you know, the 10-day, missing the 10-day notification deadline, and something about not getting complete direction. Can you clarify what you mean?
I think I'll pass that on to staff.
Mr. Chair, Representative Galizio, the normal practice is that most grants come forward in the interim to the emergency board, and since the emergency board meets only about every 6 to 8 weeks, there are times when agencies must submit a grant application because of the deadlines and can't get prior approval from the emergency board. So the process that we have come up with and agreed to with the Budget Management Division of DAS is that they would submit a letter requesting permission to apply 10 days in advance of the, at least 10 days in advance of the application deadline, and submit that in the interim to the President and Speaker. During session, they're supposed to submit that information to the chairs of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This particular grant just came in at a time, in a transition time between the interim and session, and I think there was just some confusion on who they should send the letter to. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Further discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Senator Broadley.
If I may, again, this is an important grant. Most of the people that we lock up, are going to come back to our communities. And so this is about, as it says, as the grant application says, improving inmate reentry, improving opportunities for a successful reentry. To the degree that we do this well, we reduce the chances for recidivism. So we need to move forward, and we need to look at more opportunities like this for our correctional system. Thank you.
Good comments? Further comments? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Last item, Division of State Lands, Natural Resource Sub, Senator Nelson, another grant.
Yes, thank you. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of the Oregon Department of State Lands request to approve the submission of an application to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for a regional geographic initiative grant for $100,000 to explore the use of woody biomass produced as a result of active management of the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve's 4,000 acres of forest. Region 10 is four Northwest states, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and Idaho, of the Environmental Protection Agency is accepting proposals for projects that use integrated, collaborative, or community-based approaches to reduce greenhouse gas emissions or prevent pollution by promoting the availability of renewable energy, efficient use of existing energy sources, or sequestering carbon. Proposals are due March 9, 2007. The DSL proposes to request $100,000 to research the feasibility of reducing carbon emissions. There are no cost share requirements for these projects, nor any matching funds required. If the grant is awarded, the DSL would require a limited duration position to coordinate and manage the grant. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval.
Thank you very much, Senator. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none.
David has a question.
Excuse me, David. Yes, sir.
Representative
Edwards. Excuse me, sir. I apologize. That was your co-chair said that. I didn't.
Mr. Chair.
I'm much more formal.
Question on the carrier. I'm just curious, in the subcommittee, did the agency indicate the methodology it would use to carry out the requirements of the grant?
Well, they would, they did the planning part of it, and they'd have to hire this one person to do it, and I think they would develop the plan within the agency, and if somebody could add on to that, that would be fine, but that was my understanding. If they had a plan in place, and with the other activities that were going on in the South Sea, this would fit in very nicely with what they were doing.
Thank you. Further comments? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. I'd just like to formally recognize, I think this committee and the state's appreciation for our congressional delegations for the work they did in securing some assistance for our counties under the Rural Secure Schools situation. I think that's an outstanding piece of news, and co-chairs are going to try and recognize some of that in their budget for longer-term assistance, and it's just a wonderful day, and nice to see that our congressional delegation really paying attention to what's happening and helping our state out and those that are most in need. So I just formally want to thank Peter DeFazio and the rest of the crew for doing a wonderful job.
You're good.
Further discussion? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Good job, committee.